I'm sure going to be scared to talk about Atlantis when I see what delving into Atlantis has done with such far-fetched, far-out in the minds of the traditional person. Viewpoints as Edgar Cayce's positive viewpoints and the terrible Holocaust of Germany. And you're beginning to understand, if you'll think about it for a moment, why some truths have just been Satan won his work. Satan moved into the territory and so caricatured it and distorted it and misused it that fear drives the truth clear off the side of the table. Nobody ever talks about it anymore. Well, I want the baby rescued out of the discarded bathwater. I bet you I'm telling some of you things that you never heard before. And there are whole libraries on this subject. The Atlantean age passed through seven epochs in which seven sub-races developed in succession, each one maintaining itself while the others developed beside it. Now, by the way, this knowledge is not based on empirical evidence. It's based upon seances where reincarnated people tell the events from memory. Now, it doesn't matter whether that's ridiculous, demoniac, reincarnation sound theory, true or false. Hitler believed it. And it became that strange sense of destiny that he had. According to secret doctrine, these seven sub-races of Atlantis, the Aryans being the fourth, had the various names I've given you. Adolf Hitler had gleaned something about Atlantis through members of the Thule Gesellschaft, but he had only heard the most garbled ideas, which had been developed out of an intellectual analysis of Nordic and Teutonic folklore. There can be no doubt that he was fascinated by everything that he now learned from Haushofer regarding the faculties and powers of the early Atlanteans, which were wholly magical. The sources of the magical powers of the first three, including the Toltecs, was a fully expanded etheric organism which reached far beyond the confines of the physical body. Their speech, for instance, was intimately connected to the forces of nature. Their words could not only advance the growth of plants and tame wild beasts. By the way, there are some Eastern disciplined religions that seek in their discipline to bring a person to where he can, by thought and word, speed up a seed becoming a flower. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not, you know, at this point. There are Eastern disciplines built on that. You know, there are lots of people in the Western world that believe, when you read of those things in the Far East where they make a rope levitate, that there's some monkey up there in the cloud that's got an invisible string tied to it. It's fake. You see, when the defeat of these demon powers came in the Second World War, their speech, for instance, was intimately connected to the forces of nature. Their words could not only advance the growth of plants and tame wild beasts. You know, as I get on this subject, some of you are going to find why I came to town with an impassioned hatred of Antichrist power having any control over a church. When you understand what Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places, you will understand why the church must take its stand. And you will understand how lame brain infantile most of the church world is, which is why we're losing the war we don't even know we're in. I didn't create the problem. Their words can not only advance the growth of plants and tame wild beasts, but also bring about immediate miraculous healing to the sick and terrible forces of destruction in times of enmity. Other modern Pentecostals believe that about words. At least the last part, cure the sick. It's in your mouth, speak it forth. What Karl Haushofer had to say about the leaders of the Atlanteans was to have the most marked and significant effect upon how Hitler came to regard his later role as the leader of the German people. You see, for his first failure in 1923, Hitler was put in prison, served a short term. That's what brought him national and international notoriety. He caught the attention of the most powerful German general who had retired and would never wear his uniform again because of the indignities of the defeat in the First World War. But as he heard Hitler take on the judges and speak that brought him to international notoriety, he saw the German Messiah incarnate. And he visited him during his prison term. I get so tired of the cheap shot history of Hitler that doesn't tell us what really happened with the First World War. The reason they don't tell us is because there's a voice speaking from the body of that eagle, a lot of people wanting to control this country that don't want you to know about secret societies either. And because they know the power of secret societies, they want to make sure that God's church has no secrets. The guy that has secrets can command the guy that doesn't. For the leaders of the sub-races of Atlantis were not in the ranks of ordinary, evolving human beings. Of course, they belonged among their fellows in a certain respect, but because physical bodies were softer and had greater plasticity in that age, more pliable and malleable, as it were, it was possible for lofty spirit beings to assume human form. They had mental and spiritual qualities of a superhuman kind and appeared to their contemporaries as supermen. One could call them divine human hybrid beings, sort of God-men. They were greatly venerated by all lesser mortals who accepted their guidance gratefully and obeyed their commandments without question. Now, there's little doubt but what superhuman beings came down. Genesis tells us that. Wherever there's any truth in God's word, Satan's going to try to cloud it. Such supermen instructed the people in the sciences, the arts, laws, and religion, taught them the techniques of tool making and the practice of craft. Well, let me keep going. Further stage, they rule by memory. And the spirit beings would go to the next body and memory would accumulate. But a further stage was reached when memory could be passed down through the generations in a form of a kind of blood memory. Bloodlines. At this critical juncture in the history of Atlantis, a new race was founded, which was to protect the spiritual essence of man from extinction and guarantee the rightful progress of mankind for thousands of years to come. The Aryan race. The master race of Atlantis was founded. But this new race, the Aryan race, was not formed by mere refinements of the previous sub-races of Atlantis. A sort of leap in the whole process of human evolution was achieved in order to fashion the root race with which would live on in the new conditions of environment following the total destruction of the Atlantean continent. A metamorphosis, a mutation upward, a brand new race. It took place amidst the bitter weather conditions of the mountainous regions in the far north of the continent. Only gradually, with the passing of many generations, was a body bred out which was firm enough to withstand the effects of the adverse soul powers which had disfigured the earlier races of Atlantis. Those selected to be warrior leaders were isolated in mountain training centers where they received the most rigorous schooling under the rule of uncompromising discipline. Here they were taught that everything which confronted them visibly on earth was directed by invisible powers in the macrocosm, and that they should dedicate themselves and put themselves without reservation at the service of these powers. Their education at the hands of the hybrid godmen or supermen brought them to the point where they could grasp and thought the principles upon which the Aryan race was to be further developed. Above all, they were taught to respect and protect the purity of their blood. I am founding an order. Adolf Hitler confided. He was speaking about his plans to establish the Bergs, where the second phase in the breeding of a new race was to take place. It is from there that the final stage in human mutation will emerge, the man-god. He wasn't just trying to conquer a world. He was going to enslave a world and breed a Superman. I'll say this for the Scientologists. They have recognized the influence that many of those Nazi psychoanalysts have had in much of the United States thinking that's designed to produce and pass all the anti-religion laws. Give them credit for smoking that out. Atlantis is the basis for... The only point I'm making tonight is the misuse of the concept of Atlantis and why the world turned off on it, why you don't hear much about it. Just now, people starting to pay attention because there's a new theory that Atlantis is off of Crete, and half of Crete fell in the Mediterranean Ocean, and that's become the current candidate for Atlantis. Atlantis was in the Atlantic, and it was there. Let me tell you where those demons are going to come from. In the book of Revelation, when they come out to sting people, led by Abaddon, from right out of the depths of the Atlantic, where God has them imprisoned. Isn't it interesting that we've explored the moon, outer space, but still don't know much about the Atlantic floor? Doesn't that puzzle you? You know, we could feed this whole planet from the ocean. We're all shooting off in space. Still haven't mastered. They just found a fish not long ago that's supposed to live 12 million years ago. Supposed to be extinct 12 million years ago. Paleontologists say it hasn't existed. The rocks prove it. 12 million years hasn't existed. Just came swimming up the other day. I make a 56,000-mile trip every second, but 12 million years, well, that's a long swim. I mean, talk about time bandits. The Aryan people were led out of Atlantis by the great Manu. By the way, the name is very close to the one that was supposed to have brought information to the Dogon people. The migration took them across Europe and Asia into the area of the Gobi Desert and from thence to the heights of the Himalaya in Tibet. There on top of the world, a sun oracle was founded, which was to mastermind and direct the seven civilizations of the post-Atlantean age. Initiates trained at this oracle, reincarnating as the leaders of the many and various peoples who also survived the... Doesn't matter whether you believe this or not. Hitler did. Initiates trained at this oracle, reincarnating as the leaders of the many and various people who also survived the flood and settled in all parts of Europe, Asia, and America. The large majority of the best-bred Aryan peoples settled in India. It is not difficult to imagine the effect that these revelations from the secret doctrine had in further shaping the fertile and satanic mind of Adolf Hitler. As we shall later describe, the racist teachings he received from Haushofer in Landsberg Fortress were to be implemented in the training of the SS formations and in the Bergs, from which it was intended that a new brand of Nazi Superman should emerge. Now, Karl Haushofer, who continued to visit Hitler, the geopolitical professor that did more to inflame Germany in thoughts of world conquest and geopolitics, convinced of Hitler's destiny, feeds the mind of Hitler while he's in prison. Carl Haushofer had not only made a special study of the origins of the Aryan race in Atlantis and the manner in which it was molded to fulfill the world destiny, he was also the source of the whole biological mystique of the racism of the Nazi Party, and was immediately responsible for inspiring the whole idea of breeding experiments and the spatial schooling in the Bergs from which a new race of supermen was to appear. After initiating Adolf Hitler into the secret doctrine in Landsberg Fortress, Haushofer became the leading figure in a secret society called the Vreel, or Luminous Lodge, which was founded in Berlin. Attainment of a certain high degree of initiation into the secret doctrine was the only acceptable qualification for entry into this exclusive satanic circle. The Luminous Lodge not only assembled its members from all the leading occult movements in Europe, it also attracted initiates from all quarters of the globe, including Tibet, Japan, India, Kashmir, Turkestan, and Ceylon. At the headquarters of the society in Berlin, Tibetan lamas, Japanese Buddhists, and members of other oriental sects rubbed shoulders with former students, members of various spurious Rosicrucian orders, former associates of the Paris Lodge of the Golden Dawn, and dubious personalities from Aleister Crowley's Ordo Templi Orientis, which probably engaged in some of the most hideous sexual aberrations as part of its initiation known to man. The sole aim of this lodge was to make further researches into the origins of the Aryan race and the manner in which magical capacities slumbering in the Aryan blood could be reactivated to become the vehicle of superhuman powers. Surprisingly enough, one of the works which proved an endless source of inspiration to the leading members of this lodge had been written by an Englishman. Now, the last time I was on this, I talked of Chamberlain, the Satanist, demon-possessed writer who would write under demon possession, who was the greatest advisor to Kaiser Wilhelm. This didn't just start at once. You know, don't you, what the symbol of Germany is, the eagle. You know what the heraldry of the Roman Empire was, the eagle. You know that Napoleon had to change the colors but carried the eagle. You know the symbol of Poland is the eagle. You know the eagle was carried to Russia, became a two-headed eagle symbol. If you're a stamp collector, all you got to do is look at the earliest Austrian stamps. It's got a two-headed eagle. Just threw that in. You got to preach tomorrow, you know. Written by an Englishman, Bulwer Lytton, a speculative Freemason and a member of the English Rosicrucian Society, wrote many other lesser-known works besides the celebrated novel The Last Days of Pompeii, for which he became famous. In one of these little-known books called The Coming Race, he veiled many of the truths he had learned through personal initiation into the secret doctrine. When first news of the Vreel leaked out to the Western world through Willy Ley, the rocket scientist, when he fled from Nazi Germany in 1933, according to Ley, the disciples of Haushofer believed that they were unveiling a secret knowledge through which they would be able to create a mutation in the Aryan race. Amongst other items of information, he mentioned stories he'd heard about their strange meditations and the kinds of exercises they undertook in order to develop superhuman powers of concentration and clairvoyant vision. The Vreel is the ancient Indian name for the enormous resources of energy which can be made available as the result of the expansion of the etheric body or time organism in man. They studied the laws of metamorphosis in plants. Let me skip along. Carl Haushofer was uniquely talented in displaying many of the skills. He gained these gifts through membership of the Green Dragon Society in Japan, where control of the life forces in the human body is the central aim of the ascending degrees of initiation. One of the highest tests involves that plant control we talked about. Only two other Europeans beside Householder had been allowed to join this Japanese order. The initiates of the Vril realized only too well that their aim to create a mutation of the Aryan race was totally impossible in terms of the materialistic sciences of the 20th century, which concludes that all differences of race have come about solely through long-term influences in the environment. But contemporary science, in their eyes, was a Jewish Marxist liberal science, a conspiracy of mediocre minds and worthy of nothing but contempt. They had replaced it with a Nordic nationalistic science, a magical world conception based on the cosmology of the secret doctrine. Only the chosen initiates were permitted to know the realities of this cosmology. I'm boring you?
No, sir.
The theories and conclusions of the Vril were made available to Adolf Hitler, who took a lively interest in any details which might contribute to his personal brand of biological mystique, now taking shape in his own crude and demented mind. He imagined the reemergence of magical powers that would take place with astonishing suddenness. According to him, the new type of man shortly to emerge on Earth would have all these Superman powers. Adolf Hitler was voicing the conclusion of the Vril when he stated the only true race was the Aryan race, and only the Aryan race would take part in the great heroic adventure of the sudden magical leap in the progress of human evolution. This was the Nazi creed, and Adolf Hitler became its prophet. He spoke on many occasions about his vocation as the herald of the new race of Superman. I am founding an order. It is from there that the final stage in human mutation will emerge. The man-god. This splendid being will become the object of universal worship. The harsh training and pitiless and inhuman disciplines imposed on the unfortunate children in the Bergs. You know the way the Nazis tried to sneak these children away that were the beginning of the new super race when the war began to fall. The harsh training and pitiless and inhuman disciplines imposed on the unfortunate children in the Bergs was designed to mold their souls into a selfless chalice for the incorporation of demonic spirits of a high order. For Hitler's godmen would have been none other than the legions of Lucifer, the hosts of the anti-spirit associated with the spear of destiny. It is fortunate for the world that the German armies were defeated in the battle and the Nazi regime liquidated from the face of the earth. Not quite. Not quite. Tracing back the history of the earth planet by means of the cosmic chronicle, the secret doctrine describes how the whole evolution of the earth and the being of man developed. The intervention of Lucifer initiated a process through which man became the master of his own cognition and capable of personal resolve. The hierarchies of evil that I just described earlier were responsible for the degeneration of the soul life of the masses of mankind in Atlantis. Even the disciplines and trainings which accompanied the foundation of the Aryan race were not sufficient to ward off the harmful influence of the evil powers. Two separate sections of the Aryan people, led by defected initiates from the oracles, turned to the worship of evil and set up their own separate communities in the mountains which are now submerged below the Atlantic Ocean in the proximity of Iceland. It was from their bloodthirsty and gruesome civilization that the legend of Thule arose. These initiates of evil also survived the catastrophe which the Bible describes as the Great Flood. They too migrated eastward across Europe to Asia, and they settled in Tibet in two vast cave encampments below the mountain sanctuaries of the Sun Oracle, where the great initiates established themselves to direct the wise guidance of the civilizations of the post-Atlantean age. Whereas the Sun Oracle fell into decline, the pure Aryans, after some 5,000 years, the cave communities, which served the evil hierarchies, continued to thrive into the modern age. Many rumors and stories about the demonic activities of these cave adepts had reached the West in the first decade of the 20th century. It was largely through the initiative of Professor Karl Haushofer, the father of geopolitics in Germany, whose influence touched every citizen, and other members of the Vriel Society in Berlin that exploratory teams were sent out to Tibet. The succession of German expeditions to Tibet. Now, you know, you can probably go back and see Raiders of the Lost Ark with a little more enthusiasm. The succession of German expeditions to Tibet, which took place annually from 1926 to 1942, sought to establish contact with the cave communities and persuade them to enlist the aid of Luciferic and Ahrimanic powers in the furtherance of the Nazi cause and in the projected mutation which would herald the new race of supermen. Now, listen, this vast scientific nation that almost conquered the world, its leading geopolitician, organized expeditions to Tibet because they believed the pure Aryans that were in training had dwindled to practically nothing, and they were seeking to mutate them again into the grand restoration of the Atlantean Aryans. But those that had been persuaded by Lucifer and Ahrimanic, the one who inflated the separation from higher knowledge and made man his own master without contact with higher knowledge, and Ahrimanic, who led him into simple limiting the world to the sense physical world, these were the cave people. They went to Tibet seeking them, asking them to help them make Nazi Germany achieve its goals. 3 years after the first contact had been made with the adepts of Agarty and Shambhala, Lucifer and Ahrimanic, a Tibetan community was established in Germany with branches in Berlin, Munich, and Nuremberg. But only the adepts of Agarty, the servants of Lucifer, were willing to support the Nazi cause. The initiates of Shambhala, who were concerned with the advent of materialism and the furtherance of the machine age, flatly refused to cooperate. Serving Ahriman, they had already made contact with the West and were working in affiliation with certain lodges in England and America. The materialist, with their sexual orgies, went West. Lucifer's adepts went to Germany. The adepts of Agarty were known in Germany as the Society of Green Men, and strong measures were taken to keep silence about their real significance. They were joined with 7 members of the Green Dragon Society of Japan, with whom they'd been in astral communication for hundreds of years. Adolf Hitler held regular discussions with the leader of the Tibetans in the German capital, a man with proven clairvoyance who had mastered the arts of prediction. It was rumored that he had predicted the exact date upon which Hitler would become chancellor and the date of the commencement of the World War. The teaching of this Tibetan group, which had built up under the direct inspiration of Professor Karl Haushofer, attracted the enthusiastic attentions of the Reichsfuhrer SS Heinrich Himmler. Himmler set up a school of occultism in the Berlin branch, and many of the leading ranks of the Totenkopf SS the secret Heimsdienst, however the Germans say that, and the Gestapo was ordered to attend courses in meditation, transcendentalism, and magic. Heydrich used to mock these meetings of Himmler, but Himmler was in charge. It was in this establishment that Himmler was persuaded to found the Omninerbe, the Nazi occult bureau. I don't know how to pronounce that in German either. Anybody know? Omninerbe incorporated the membership of Crowley's Spurious Templar Order, the Vriel and the Thule or Thule Gesellschaft, into the Black Order of the SS. You ever wondered why the black shirts? Its aim to make researches into the localization, general characteristics, achievements, and inheritance of the Indo-Germanic race. During the final months of the war, the lamas from Tibet were utterly neglected by the Nazis. They had failed in their mission to harness the powers of Lucifer to the Nazi cause. To show his personal disfavor, Hitler ordered they should live on the same reduced rations as the inmates of the concentration camps. When the Russians reached their quarters in the suburbs of Berlin, they discovered their naked bodies lying in orderly rows, each with a ceremonial knife piercing the abdomen. They had chosen the Oriental form of suicide rather than surrender to the communists in further disgrace. The earliest association of the Nazis and the Tibetan cave oracles did not go unnoticed by shrewd and observant men in the Western world. Listen, Winston and Churchill knew all about this. His closest advisor on Hitler was that man who watched Hitler transformed in demon possession as he looked at this spear in the Habsburg treasures. Such was the blindness and ignorance of the Allied security officers in charge of the Nuremberg prisoners, they didn't even recognize the demonic nature of the last rites which were given to some of the convicted men awaiting the hangman's noose. These people, the attitude of these people, seeing the Aryans and the mutation of the race that he was going to bring about, they will be sons of God, said Hitler. And the key to this staggering potential in man, it would be realized through the nature and quality of the blood. Only the Aryan blood would be sensitive to the newly released resources of creative cosmic power. Those peoples arising from the remnants of other races that had survived the destruction of Atlantis would not be included in the coming mutations. And here's their attitude. And the Jewish race, which had arisen at a time when creative, etheric power was at its lowest ebb, would be excluded from all such superhuman development. Quote, the leading geopolitic professor of Germany, Karl Haushofer, quote, they merely imitate men, but do not belong to the same species. The Jews are as far removed from us as animals are from human, reiterated Heinrich Himmler. I do not look upon Jews as animals. They are further removed from animals than we are, said Adolf Hitler. Therefore, it's not a crime to exterminate them since they do not belong to humanity at all. Now, I hope nobody takes that quote out of context. I'm quoting these SOBs. Atlantis became the basis of that damnable, sick, demoniac Nazism. Now, do you understand why Atlantis fell into disrepute? But that doesn't tell the whole story of Atlantis. And that the devil would seize on it the way he has and turn Atlantis into the field day for the occult groups tells me maybe somebody ought to rescue it and put it in line with biblical history. This spear, the first thing Hitler did was go to get the spear. Though Himmler said he ought to just take it as he sat alone in that museum in Vienna. And the penniless boy that had gone there and looked at the spear that was part of the regalia of the Habsburgs in the museum in Vienna, and felt demon possession come over him, because the legend of the spear is whomever has it in his possession, as long as he has it in his possession, controls the destiny of the world. Upon annexing Austria, and when 70,000 Jews were arrested in brutal, sadistic activity in the streets, he came to Vienna, and without guards watching him, he sat for hours alone in front of that spear. Nobody knows what he did. Against Himmler's advice, he decided to make the transfer legal, so he conducted a very famous trial to achieve the premeditated ends, changed the laws, regurgitated the history that when Napoleon, who had the same obsession to lay his hands on this spear, and the spear was resting in the regalia of the former emperors that were of the Prussian emperors, and it was resting in the regalia at Nuremberg, Napoleon came to seize that spear, equally sure that if he held the spear, he could conquer the world. And some people, when they read history, think these people were dummies that became world conquerors. Not by accident that Napoleon opened up the pyramid. Not by accident that Napoleon takes the Pope as prisoner. Not by accident that Napoleon wanted to be crowned as Charlemagne. Not by accident that he knew of the spear of destiny. This other evil, incarnate spirit of Antichrist, that little soldier Napoleon, he had to have this spear of destiny. And he was tricked. And it was sent to Vienna. Hitler engineered a complete historical trial to prove that it was wrongly placed in Vienna, and legally traced it back to the conclusion that it properly belonged in Nuremberg, because in an attempt to get it away from Napoleon, it was sent to Vienna. This spear said to pierce the side of Jesus, from which the blood poured forth and water, which became in the minds of some the true Holy Grail. So you got Holy Grails of all kinds. After laboriously legalizing, in his view, the return of the spear to Nuremberg, the legend of the spear says, as long as the one who has it holds it in his hands and controls it, he can't be killed. Now I'm going to skip over something. In that bunker where Hitler died, they brought forth treasures that caused people to gasp, but no spear. Here's the posse of Nazis who buried that spear beneath the Nuremberg fortress, where it was discovered on the day Adolf Hitler shot himself in the Berlin bunker. He died without the spear in his hands. It became a great issue as post-war people fought over whose national regalia should include the spear. Stayed in the hands of the Allied commanders under the control of the United States. And by the way, Hitler was in Berlin, the spear was in Nuremberg, he shot himself in Berlin, maybe. I think he did. You know, there are those who think he didn't. I think he did. I think he's deader than a hammer. Thank God. But that spirit that was in him ain't dead. While it was under Allied control, we blew the hell out of the world. And atom bombs were dropped on Japan. And then the old genial Ike said, send it back to Vienna. Now, who controls Vienna today? Huh? The Soviets. Interesting, this spear. Well, I'll tell you what's even more interesting. is a history of who's had it down through the years. I've told you Napoleon, Kaiser's obsession with it, and Hitler. You say, I don't believe those things. Well, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care whether you believe he was demon possessed or not. Hitler believed it, and it obsessed him. Napoleon believed it. Kaiser Wilhelm believed it. Charlemagne believed it. Constantine believed it. The Barbarossos believed it. I'm going through a long list. Why should Christians be ignorant? Huh? Why should Christians be ignorant? You can't understand any of this without the Bible. You can't even understand Nazi Germany without bringing religion in and the conflict of the ages, the war that's been going on, Satan versus God. I'm not playing games. This church is not playing games. We know there's a war. We're on the winning side. You know who's on the losing side? You know who's on the losing side? Those members of the church world that don't know a war is going on. They're losing. They don't know the war is going on. We're at war. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that is Christ's church. If you're not at war and prevailing against the devil, maybe you're not Christ's church.